In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. With your permission, Lord, I speak in your presence. Today is a very joyful day in a lot of ways. As far as life here in the church goes, we've been able to resume adoration of the Blessed Sacrament for an extended period of time with people actually here in the church. During the time, on Thursday night, we have a live stream of Holy Hour, and I give a meditation during that time. So we won't do just the Holy Hour, because the Blessed Sacrament is here the whole time. But I'm still going to do the little meditation, I think. Maybe this little time of transition, that will be live streamed. But it's actually wonderful to actually have people here. It's a funny thing to be in this church. When it's completely empty and talking to my camera and my phone. But the other even more joyful thing, news that we learned today, is that Bishop Spalding has given permission for the resumption of public masses beginning as early as May the 18th, Monday, May the 18th. With, of course, many precautions and guidelines from the governor and things like that. And the bishop has not mandated that masses start on the 18th if things can't be gotten ready, but they can start then. It's certainly my intention that we would start then here, but we also have to make sure that we're ready and have our precautions about how to observe social distancing and all of that. But that's not what this is about right now. What I'd like to reflect on tonight, in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, of course, is what the Mass itself. Because I think it's very, very timely at this moment to reflect on what is this? What is this that we have been missing? And what is it that we will resume? Of course, we've been very grateful to be able to have live stream masses. It's better than not doing that. And I have to say, I've learned a lot from that. I haven't learned much about Facebook or anything else before then. And very grateful for that. It's been very moving to me to be able to see the evidence of after the fact, of the fact that we've been joined together. You have the advantage of seeing me. I don't see you when we do the live stream message, but I know you're out there. But I think we all know in our hearts and feel and sense this, that it's not the Mass. It's watching the Mass. But it really isn't the Mass itself. And so I wanted to reflect a little tonight on what the Mass is, essentially, and why that is so much of the very essence of our faith, and why, for example, watching it live streamed, again, as grateful as we are for that, it's not really being present at the Mass. There are many, many things in comparison to descriptions for the Mass. But if we want to get down to the one basic thing, what is the Mass? Well, the Mass is the one perfect offering that Jesus Christ made of himself to the Heavenly Father. And through that one perfect offering that Jesus made of himself to the Heavenly Father, he won our salvation. We see it in its historical and bloody form from the cross at Calvary. But the night before that event, Jesus Christ did something very interesting with his apostles. While they were gathered there at that meal that we refer to now as the Last Supper, he essentially anticipated the bloody sacrifice of Calvary under sacramental signs. He took the bread of that meal and said, "This is my body." He took the cup, the chalice of wine from that meal. He said, "This is the chalice of my blood." And he gave his flesh and his blood to his apostles seated there at the table with him to eat and to drink. And he said something very important also, "Do this in memory of me. Do this in memory of me." He thereby authorized the apostles to do what he had just done. That is, to take bread and wine, to bless and break and give those gifts in such a way that they actually become his body and his blood, and the food for our salvation. And he did that with the knowing what was going to happen the next day. Because that was an event that was located in history and time at a particular place. It's an amazing thing. You can go to that place. I had the great honor this past summer of going to that place, to Calvary. You can go and you can stick your arm down the slot where the cross was. But you can go do that. And it's not very far from where he was then taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb. But that event was fixed to a particular time and a particular place. And so I would have had no way to participate in that event for Norwood U, unless we had happened to live at that particular time and been in that particular place. But because Jesus knew that that sacrifice, that offering, was the life of the world, he wanted to provide all of us access to his saving flesh and blood. I once heard a wonderful, very, very eloquent preacher talking about this, saying that, you know, we have to really be washed in the blood of Christ in order to be saved. And the people that day were. You know, I've seen this very graphic representation of the crucifixion, and like, for example, the movie The Passion of the Christ. And when Jesus' heart is pierced by the centurion's lance, this blood and water gushes and really does wash those who are at the foot of the cross in his blood. And I have to be washed in his blood. But how does his blood get to me? I wasn't there. In history. Well, that's why Jesus instituted this sacrament of the Holy Eucharist the night before. It's the same event. You know, in Holy Week, we're going through Holy Week from the institution of the Lord's Supper on Thursday night through the Easter Vigil Mass. It's all one event, essentially. Because Jesus is God, and what he says happens and is true, when he says about this bread, "This is my body," when he says about this chalice, "This is my blood," and you do this in memory of me, those things really happen. And because they're done in sacramental signs, they can be extended throughout time and place, to every time and to every place, which is where the Mass is celebrated, in every time and in every place. Even in these days when we haven't had that public celebration of the Mass has still been offered. And that's the main thing. And so when we come to Mass, through that power of the Holy Spirit, we are present at the sacrifice of Calvary. And we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's why we need to be here. And that's why it's so important that we will be able to, little by little, now, there are many other wonderful things happen when we come to Mass. You know, we see people that we know and we love, and we, you know, maybe get to sing things we like to sing, or we get to hear a very good or a very boring hymn or whatever, you know. But those things are all incidental, essentially, to the Mass. What happens when we come to Mass in the church is we are gathered as members of the mystical body of Christ. And we join Jesus Christ in offering himself to the Father for the salvation of the world. That's an interior act. Joining yourself. It's what the offertory symbolizes. Bread and wine symbolize ourselves. And bread is made from wheat that is ground down and then put through fire and changed into one bread. And wine comes from the crushing of the grapes. And they're being passed through this process of fermentation and changed into wine. And we are made that bread and that wine that is offered in the altar with the offering that Jesus makes of himself. You notice at the end of the Eucharistic prayer, how does it end? Through him, with him, in him. Who is him? Jesus. Through Jesus, with Jesus, in Jesus. O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Jesus, offering himself in the unity of the Holy Spirit to the Father and uniting us in that act. And so that's why I'm so happy that we're going to be able again to do this, what Jesus told us to do in memory of him. And so let us begin again at this time and really know the essence of what we're doing. We are offering Jesus to the Father. But because we are part of Jesus, part of his mystical body, we are able then to offer ourselves, and therefore our offering is perfect and pleasing. And when we come to Mass, we are there at Calvary. And we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are there. We are there. Because Jesus provided this way for us to be there. And it's not a repetition of what happened. It is the actual event. To God, everything is present. There's no past for God. There's no future for God. Everything is now for God. And so that historical event, which for us is in the past, for God is present. And God allows us to enter into his present, his eternal now, when we come to Mass. We enter into eternity. We enter into heaven. Well, heaven stoops down to us, maybe both. And we enter in, and we are there. That one perfect and eternal sacrifice that Jesus makes of himself to the Father. And so that happens no matter what. No matter how beautiful or humble the church is. No matter how eloquent the priest might be or may not be. No matter how much we like the music or don't, or how much whatever, all of that really doesn't matter at all. If you hear this, Spirit, with the whole host of angels and saints. And not just as a spectator, but a part of that offering that Jesus is making of himself. So literally, pour your heart into the chalice when it's prepared. Place your life on the pattern as the hosts are lifted to the Father. And everything that is in your heart and everything that is in your life, this is how you act as a priest. Offering sacrifice to the world, which so desperately needs it, and is counting on you to do that. And that's why it's so important for us to be here. It is for the life of the world. It is for the life of the world. And even more important than that, it's for the glory of God the Father. That's the main reason Jesus did everything that he ever did, was to give glory to his Father. And we can do that in this perfect way, in the only way that is really worthy of. And that is through Jesus' offering for his Son. And we do that through him, with him, and in him. And then because of that wonderful gift, then the fruit of that gift is that then Jesus remains with us in the Blessed Sacrament. And so we're able to draw near and pray to him in the tabernacle, and at times here in adoration on the altar. But it's a fruit of the Mass. The source of this is the Mass. And so we see the way this church and most churches, Catholic churches, are organized. We see this depiction of the historical bloody reality. And we're drawn down to the altar, which is really the cross. And it's also the very Jesus. And on that altar then, tonight, is Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, the fruit of this great offering. Staying with us. Remaining with us so that we can be with him. So in these days leading up to the restoration of the public celebration of Mass in our diocese, let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare our hearts to enter into this mystery. And so then even this time of being separated from the Mass will have turned out to be gain. You know, there's a wonderful, there's an old saying, I think I'm wrong, but absence makes the heart grow fonder. To have that great longing and to enter in into the Mass in this great interior offering of ourselves. Through him, with him, and in him. And the perfect model for us in this, of course, is the Blessed Virgin Mary. I think it's a beautiful thing to meditate on, to think of the Blessed Virgin Mary at Mass. We don't even make count of that, but she would have been at the Mass after Jesus' ascension and with the apostles. Think of the fervor and devotion of the Blessed Virgin Mary at Mass. That's how we want to come to Mass.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My Lord and my God, I give you thanks for the good resolutions, inspirations, and affections that you have given to me in this time of prayer. I ask for the grace to put them into effect in my life today. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
Again, pardon me, Lord, speaking in your presence. For those of you who have watched the holy hours on the other Thursday nights, we'll just go back to adoration here, and we'll be confident back at the rectory chapel. God bless you.